couldn't help it. I know you felt it. Green and white, white and green. Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics?
All right, Celtics fans, we are back with another episode of Boston Celtics Game Day Recap. I'm your host, Guy DiPulcito, and these Celtics continue to roll. 9 straight wins. They beat the Bulls 124-113. This was another game that has me scratching my head on Player of the Game. We're going to dive into today's podcast, though, same as usual. Run through Player of the Game, run through some of the highs, some of the lows. And to get things started, again, head scratcher for Player of the Game. But I really want to give it to Al Horford. This was Al Horford dialing the clock back a little bit here. Earlier in the season, he set his career high for threes made in a game with, I believe it was 6, and he had 5 tonight. He was 5 of 10, added 23 points, 8 rebounds, and assist. Really good overall game from Al Horford, and they came just in clutch moments over and over and over. The Bulls made a run. Al Horford hit a 3. I will give Jason Tatum a ton of credit here. A ton of credit, because most of Al Horford's threes came from excellent drives from Jason Tatum. Derek White assisted on one of them as well. However, the only reason Derek White got the ball was because Jason Tatum got into the heart of the defense, kicked it out to him. So Al Horford, huge benefactor of Jason Tatum's aggressiveness getting downhill. Really good game from him, though. He capitalized on all of the opportunities. And I was thinking about this earlier. How happy does Al Horford have to be in this situation? Being at, you know, the 37 years old, being 37 years old and being surrounded with the amount of talent that he is just opens the floor up, right? His game has totally shifted from his early Atlanta days to here. Like, he, offensively at least, is parked behind a three-point line, and goddamn is he so good at it. And the only reason he's getting all of these wide open shots is that he has guys like Jason Tatum, like Jaylen Brown, like Derek White, Jrue Holiday, all of these guys that are spacing the floor so well that it just leads to him with open shot after open shot. I mean, if you're going to sag off of anybody on that team, no offense to Al Horford, but it's Al Horford. And it's leading to a million wide open shots. And he's just draining them, making teams absolutely cry. So really just happy for Al Horford, continuing to play at a really high level. Really good game from him. But honestly, again, this is a game, no Porzingis, no JB, and no Jrue Holiday. It's another game where they sit 3 of their top 6, and the Celtics continued to play really well. Luke Kornet got the start tonight in Porzingis' absence, and went out and absolutely dominated. He's another guy that you could throw out there for Player of the Game and feel absolutely fantastic about it. He ended the night 8 points, 13 rebounds, 5 of which were offensive. And honestly, I think that number is low. I think the amount of controlled tip-outs that don't technically count as offensive rebounds would have brought that number significantly higher. He was so active on the glass. His career high in rebounds is 14, set back when he was in New York on the Knicks. But tonight, 13 rebounds. The dude was all over the glass. And it's amazing to watch, because the guy truly went from, oh my God, what are we going to do with this guy? We can't rely on him in the playoffs, to, okay, this guy is a legitimate threat. Like, he is a vertical threat, catching a million alley-oops. He's rebounding way better than he was earlier in the season. Like, I said it a couple podcasts ago. Early on in this season, I said that he was one of the worst rebounders for a guy his size. And now he's coming out. He's actually doing his job. He's playing so well right now. He found his rhythm within the offense, within the defense. He's blocking shots. Had another 2 blocks in this game. This was a really good performance from Luke Kornet. Really good performance. So having Horford and Kornet both give you 31 minutes in a game where Kristaps Porzingis is not here, being able to go double big, you have Al still stretching the floor, you have Kornet more in the dunker spot. Like, it is amazing basketball. Like, we talk about it a lot here. It's like the luxury to be able to sit three of your starters and still roll teams is crazy. This is like three or four games in a row, it seems, that we're sitting three plus three starters, and we're still not just beating teams, like running away with some victories. Like, this game was pretty close. This was a six-point game with 5 minutes left. It just missed that crunch time number. It's five points within 5 minutes. We were up six at 5 minutes, and it got down to six with 4.5 minutes left as well. So it technically isn't a crunch time win, but this was a crunch time game, more or less, and they walked away with an 11-point victory, right? The fact that we are able to do this, down three starters, I don't care who the team is, still a group of NBA players, it's impressive. And it's because guys like Al Horford step up a little bit. Obviously, Al has a pretty pronounced role on this team, but he takes it up a notch. Luke Kornet takes it up a notch. Peyton Pritchard takes it up a notch. Sam Hauser takes it up a notch. Well, you look at Sam Hauser today. This is another one of those games where I feel like if they tried to get him involved a little bit more, he could have broken the record in this one as well. 23 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 8 of 9 from the field, 7 for 8 from beyond the arc. Sam Hauser continues to be an absolute flamethrower. Excellent game from him in everything, completely within the rhythm of the offense. Like I said, I kind of wanted them to search him out a little bit more because of how hot he was. They didn't, but he still ended up with 23 points. Peyton Pritchard, like I said, continuing to step up. This dude, they brought it up on the broadcast today in his start. So again, very, very small sample size this year. He is like averaging Steve Nash type numbers, MVP season Steve Nash type numbers. I think they said it was like 18 points or 19 points and 8 assists in his starts. Obviously, he did not start tonight. I guess that's not obvious for people who didn't watch. However, he led the team in plus minus with plus 17, 15 points, 8 assists, and a steal with 3 rebounds. So Peyton Pritchard continues to just play this game at a ridiculously efficient level. Ridiculously efficient level. So I am just, I'm so happy for guys like Kornet, for Peyton Pritchard. Both of them. Obviously Hauser too, but like Hauser, in my opinion, he kind of built this role last year. Like, I think Sam Hauser came into this season with a very defined role. I think we knew what to expect from him. Luke Kornet, I can't say my expectations were sky high. I thought he was a very okay third string center. He's not someone that's going to go out stat pad. He's not someone that's going to go out and require or demand a ton of playing time. But at this point, his play is warranting playing time. Peyton Pritchard, he's 1 year removed from asking for a trade. Like, he wanted out last year because he wasn't getting the time. The Celtics trade Marcus Smart, trade Malcolm Brogdon. And again, neither of those moves were to free up time for Peyton Pritchard. Not where I'm going with that. However, both of those moves opened up a guard spot for Peyton Pritchard to slide into. And he is the only Celtics player to play in every single game this season, which is just damn near. It's just impressive, right? And he's stepping up into his role, playing great basketball. You love to see it. So we have gotten about 9-10 minutes into this podcast. We haven't said a single word about Derek White. Briefly talked about Jason Tatum, and that just makes my heart happy. So we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, but we'll be back. I want to talk about Jason Tatum and Derek White before we start the negative segment, because I don't think they had bad games. There were parts to Jason Tatum's game that were less than ideal, but we're going to dive into all of it. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. If you're looking to buy or sell in the near future, meet Deb Burke, your trusted realtor at Compass Real Estate, serving Massachusetts and New Hampshire. With a passion for finding dream homes, Deb is committed to making your real estate journey a breeze. Whether you're buying or selling, Deb's got your back. Reach out today at 978-930-4621 or email deb.burke@compass.com to start your next chapter. Let's turn your real estate dreams into reality. Are you tired of insurance options that leave you feeling lost in the dark? Look no further than Joe Lyman of Brightway Insurance.
Joe goes above and beyond to find the perfect coverage for you. So whether it's homeowners, renters, car, commercial, or even pet insurance, Joe will make sure you're protected where and when it matters most. Contact Joe at joe.lyman@brightwayinsurance.com today and let him brighten your path to peace of mind. So whether you're driving, working out, or just relaxing, make sure to check out Joe Lyman at Brightway Insurance. Brightway Insurance, your beacon in the world of insurance. Hey, Boston Celtics fans, are you ready to experience the thrill of an epic game at the TD Garden? Look no further than SeatGeek, your go-to source for the best Celtics tickets in town. With SeatGeek, finding the perfect seats to catch all the Celtics action has never been easier. From courtside to the nosebleeds, they've got it all, and they've got it at the best prices. Plus, they even rate every deal on a scale of 1 to 10 to help you find the best value. But here's the deal. When you use the special promo code VSN, you'll get an exclusive discount. So why pay more when you can use VSN and save on your Boston Celtics tickets?
All right, so want to talk about Derek White here. This is another really good game. And efficiency-wise, not his best. 3 of 11 from 3, 6 of 14 from the field. 17 points, though, 6 assists, had another steal, 3 rebounds. Overall, solid game. The part I love about it is that in the fourth quarter, stepped up. Had a big 3 to go up 110-102 with like 5.5 left, and then had another pull-up 3 to go up 113-104 with 4.25 left, 4.5 left. So Derek White, down the stretch, making some big shots. Scal said it on the broadcast, like, in the fourth quarter, I don't expect Derek White to ever miss. And it seems like he's just built that reputation. In the fourth quarter, Derek White is Mr. Clutch. And I know he's not the de facto go-to guy, right? He's not the Jason Tatum that's taking most of these last-second shots. But he's proved himself so capable so many times. So Derek White, despite, again, rougher shooting numbers, under 50% from the field, you know, about 25% from three, a little bit higher than that. It's not his best night, but in the fourth quarter, he stepped up. He hit some big shots. It was a good overall game for Derek White. Jason Tatum kind of fits that mold a little bit as well. Jason Tatum had, he struggled a little bit early on in this game. And I'm not going to say it was a phenomenal game from Jason Tatum. He did end the night with 26 points. 6 assists, had 5 turnovers, right? Not great. The shooting percentages, not great. However, down the stretch, Jason Tatum was fantastic. He had one bad turnover late in this game. However, you look at the rest of his game, right? Strong drive and finish at the rim to go up 117-107 with 3 left. Hit 2 other free throws after a drive to go up 119-109 with 210 left. Huge steal. Fouled, hit 2 free throws to go up 121-109 with 204 left, right? So in that 1 minute, actually really 53-second span, 3 massive plays, and then had a nice drive and dish to Sam Hauser to go up 124-111. So down the stretch, Jason Tatum stepped it up. Huge, huge plays from him down the stretch in this game. And again, in crunch time. So people want to talk about Jason Tatum not being clutch. This, despite it being technically not considered crunch time, this was a close game. This was a very close game, and Jason Tatum performed down the stretch. He is the reason that the Celtics pulled away and won this game by 11. Like, it's 6 massive points, huge points, and then an assist. He did have one turnover where he drove in a little bit too deep, tried to kick it out to Peyton Pritchard. Horrible pass. But it's not a live ball turnover. He threw it out of bounds, right? So the turnover, not great. But there are worse turnovers. So Jason Tatum, listen, it's not a perfect game. It's not a great game because the rest of it, I think there certainly were mistakes. But down the stretch, it was a excellent, excellent performance from him. So listen, there's not a whole lot of negatives to take in this game. One of the things that I will mention, I love the fact that Joe Mazzulla is keeping all of these guys' minutes pretty low, right? The fact that he's continuing to sit 3 starters fairly consistently I love, especially since we're like actually still winning these games. If we weren't winning these games, it would be different. Now, with that being said, if we go out, we sit three starters on Monday and we lose that game, I'm not going to say switch it up, bring these guys back. We need to continue winning, because the Celtics have proven at this point, despite having guys sit out, they're still capable of winning. But outside of the fact that he's sitting three guys, we saw first quarter minutes from Brissett and Svi. Brissett played 17 minutes. Honestly, thought he played pretty well in those minutes. Svi also, first quarter minutes. The fact that both of those guys are getting first quarter minutes means that Joe Mazzulla really is prioritizing health down the stretch. Like, he is doing everything he can to make sure these guys are healthy, that these guys feel rested come playoff time. Otherwise, it is absolutely gung-ho. Get these guys in the game, play all your starters a million minutes, and try to roll this team. Because honestly, early on in this game, the Bulls, we were going back and forth for leads. The Bulls were right in this game all the way up until mid-fourth. Actually, late in fourth, frankly. So Joe Mazzulla really is prioritizing health. And despite that, the Celtics just keep winning either way. Love to see it. Love to see it. Honestly, only negative that you can really talk about in this game was turnovers and points off turnovers. That's it. I think the Celtics did a very good job offensive rebounding. We had 12. We held them to just 3. But we gave up 14 points off our 12 turnovers. And honestly, that number was really high early. Like, in the second quarter, midway in the second, we already had given up 10 points off of our turnovers. So clearly, the Celtics did a good job of fixing that down the stretch. But early on, it was an issue. There were also points in this game. DeMar DeRozan, one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. Nobody's just going to shut him down from the mid-range. There were points in this game. Sam Hauser, a couple times, jumped, bit on an up fake, gave up an easy bucket. And listen, again, DeRozan, very good basketball player, very crafty, been doing it for a while, knows exactly what he wants, and just goes out and does it. So there were points in this game, DeMar DeRozan, easy buckets. Part of it due to the fact that he's just excellent. Part of it due to the fact that we're throwing Sam Hauser out there and not a Jaylen Brown or a Jrue Holiday, right? Two elite defenders, because we're resting them, right? It is what it is. Take it with a grain of salt. There's not a whole lot of negatives to talk about in this game, but defense on DeMar DeRozan at times, flaky. Turnovers early on, flaky. Jason Tatum, huge part of that. I had 5 turnovers. Again, not knocking Tatum. I think he played a really good game down the stretch specifically, but yeah, overall, this is a good win. The Celtics improved to 57-14, 11 games left, and the Celtics just absolutely are steamrolling. They have an 11.5 game lead over Milwaukee. Milwaukee plays on Sunday. Celtics play on Monday. If Milwaukee loses or the Celtics win, we clinch best record in the Eastern Conference with 10 games left. Potentially 11, I guess, if Milwaukee loses on Sunday, right? So the Celtics, it just doesn't matter at this point. They are absolutely destroying teams, and it is damn fun to watch. That's where we're going to wrap things up. Really good game overall. Celtics are back in action in Atlanta. Celtics at Hawks on Monday. So that will be back. Hopefully the Celtics will clinch the Eastern Conference with 10 games remaining. Have a great night, Celtics fans. We'll talk soon. You couldn't help it. I know you felt it. Green and white, white and green. Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics?